Thanks for tuning in to the Animal Control Report podcast, where we help debunk the dog catcher stereotype. A lot of times people think it's a dog catcher when they hear about animal control officers. But here on the Animal Control Report, we change that by taking you inside the day-to-day operations of animal control officers. Not only will you hear stories of animal control officers, but you'll hear from industry experts as well. We are also part of the Keep It Humane podcast network. We have some amazing partners there, so check them out at keepithumane.com/podcast network. You can listen to all the animal control and animal welfare related podcast there. And let's continue to help people help animals. Welcome to Animal Control Officer Appreciation Week on the Animal Control Report podcast. And we are with Amanda. Amanda, how you doing today?
Not too bad yet. Not too bad.
Yet.
Yeah. You never know.
So on the Animal Control Report, it's a podcast all about, you know, animal control. I don't know what else to say.
Talking. Yes.
We wanted to make sure we had an opportunity for ACO week to really get your stories, get your, you know, you and celebrate you. So first off, thank you for taking the time out to join us. And we're excited to learn more about you. How'd you get started in this profession?
You know, it's funny. Like I was saying earlier, I went to Michigan State. My degree's in zoology, and I thought I was going to go to vet school, and I was kind of done with school. At the last year, I didn't want to go to school anymore. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to do with my zoology degree. And then I ended up managing a truck stop, if you can imagine.
What?
For about a year. And then my best friend from college said, hey, Mandy, I need a roommate. So, and she lived down here in Texas. So what did I have to lose, right? So I moved down here and I worked at a vet clinic for a little while, and it just wasn't for me. I found it to be kind of boring, if I'm being honest. I applied for the animal services officer, and I thought, oh, I get to be a dog catcher. Yes, because this was a very long time ago, mind you, 1999. So it's been a minute. I know I'm old.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but some of our listeners.
But it's been a long time, you know?
Been born.
So
yet.
I started in animal services, and man, I'll tell you, I just found my heart. Yeah. I went away for a little while. I had to be a mom. I worked, Wednesday through Sunday, which is the craptastic schedule that those of us in animal services have to work.
You didn't even get a weekend day off.
Sure didn't for 7 years. So every time I hear my team say that I don't want to work weekends, I'm like, look, heifers, I paid my dues. It's your turn. So, and I worked on Sundays for a long time after that too. So, I left for 8 years. I went to code enforcement, which is, it's a pretty typical move in animal services to go to code enforcement.
Police department or code or fire, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I learned after 8 years, or much sooner than 8 years, but I don't care if you mow your grass. I just don't. And I don't like being the neighborhood nag. So I went back, got my master's degree, my MBA. And then, cause I didn't have enough management experience, supervisory experience. And if you know anything about code enforcement, it always pays better than animal services. Unfortunately, sadly, it does. So I went back and got my master's and got back into animal services.
Good for you. And where was that? I guess it sounds like you've had a couple different journeys, but where was that peak moment? Was it when you were in code, like, nah, this ain't for me, and really felt like, okay, I want to get back into helping people and animals?
You know, I never really wanted to leave. Okay. I needed a better schedule, working Wednesday through Sunday. I worked 10 to 7 or 10 to 8.
Yeah.
And I needed to be a mom. My kiddo, he was getting ready to go into kindergarten, and he needed, flag football and all the mom stuff, because I was a single parent. So, it was tough. But code enforcement's Monday through Friday. You don't have to be on call, do all the fun stuff that we all just love about our jobs. I had to be a mom first. And once he got a little bit older and started in daycare and such, it was it made more sense. I'm the type of person, I need to care about what I do. I think any of us in this field, you do it because you care about it. It certainly isn't for the pennies. so then I figured I'd just come back.
What do you say? So we just did a show or one of these episodes with someone in Connecticut. And I asked them, I said, like, what is something that is probably a misunderstanding, or at least like maybe not even a misunderstanding, but something that happens in Connecticut that may meet people may not know about. So like in Texas, what do you think is something that happens that people that may not happen in Connecticut, for example?
Honestly, well, lately it's the lack of adoptions, the lack of
Mm.
access to care. I
Okay.
mean, those are, I don't think they realize how big of an issue that is for us down here, right? People want to keep their pets. I mean, maintaining that human animal bond, that's always number one, or should be.
Always.
And that's, but some of them, they simply can't afford it. So, we get a little arrogant sometimes. People should, if you can't afford an animal, well, you shouldn't have one. You know what? That's a great plan. Unfortunately, it's very unrealistic. So
And should that be that shouldn't even be the case in some aspects, right? I think our position is ever evolving in the aspects of like, how do we provide resources, education and care to those that need it, right?
absolutely. I
Versus the history of this profession, which was rabies control.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how it's evolved. When I first started, it was all about field requests, and we didn't even have a website. So, I mean, that's a long, again, a long time ago. We didn't have a really a way for people to figure out what they could adopt. You just had to come visit the shelter. And majority half of our the city employees didn't know we had a shelter. So how's the public supposed to know we have a shelter, right? So that was one of the first things I was really tasked with, was setting up our website and getting the word out that, hey, there's some critters need to be adopted. And now it's even more required because we have to compete with all the other shelters. It's not really competition, right? But it's, I mean, it is a little bit, it is a
It's
little bit.
it's unfortunate that it is because, and I don't really want to delve into this, but I can't stay away from it, is there is divisiveness amongst our profession, and it's unfortunate because it doesn't need to be there, but it is
Absolutely.
there. Let's switch gears really quick. What's a really positive story or a positive, so just a vibe that you can recall that kind of warms your heart?
What's a good one? Because there's a lot.
Put you on the spot.
Yeah, it's okay. It's a lot. So when I was in at another facility, we had a seizure that we had to do. And at the beginning, it was a hoarding case, which, those of us who've been doing this for a while, we know that it's a mental illness. And this poor woman was just so overwhelmed. She had 58 little dogs, and she needs
You
to,
said 58?
yes, 58,
Yikes.
58 little rat dogs with long hair, with long. So it was just disgusting. She lived in her car. The dogs lived in the house. And she was an older woman. And I'll tell you what, that woman knew every, they were all little Maltipoos. They're all little white dogs. They looked exactly the same to the rest of us. And she, but she knew every last one of them. She knew exactly which
Each
one of them.
name. I've been there. I've
Absolutely.
been there.
Every name, every single little dog. And at first we were all like, this lady needs tickets. She needs to never have animals again. And then, as we're doing the seizure in her house, and she's out there, and she's helping us. She's so relieved that she's finally got some help. She actually signed the dogs over to us. She released them to us, all but we let her keep three of them, but we sterilized them. We sterilized them and vetted them, and just offering her some resources. And you know what? She stayed a friend of the shelter for as long as I was there.
That's really
So
cool.
it was really cool, and it, seeing the mindset change among my team members, it
Because they
was really.
wanted it to be like criminal, criminal, criminal.
Absolutely. Until we were there on property taking the dogs, and seeing how heartbroken she was and just devastated by the whole thing. But yeah, it ended, we got Adult Protective Services involved, and it ended up being a very positive, it was a lot of hard work, but it ended up being
Those
very
cases,
positive.
they are hard work, and it's like sometimes dealing with a certain type of individual in that scenario. You may have to take a different route, but this one sounded like you were like, she's willing to take the feedback necessary to do the right thing.
Yeah,
And that,
she was
and you
just
help,
afraid to
and
ask
you
for
helped
help.
her. You helped her too, right? Like that was the cool part.
Absolutely.
That's cool. What do you think about like the future of this profession? Like, where do you want, like, if you could wave a magic wand and be like, this is where I want it to be, where would you want to see this?
Total access to care, regardless of financial
You know,
status.
we preach that on this show, right?
Sure. Yeah. 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 Total access to care. I don't care how much money you have. I'll just consider it a long-term foster. At the end of the day, if you need, I don't think that people should be limited. I don't think it should be seen as a necessarily a privilege to own an animal, to own an animal. They enrich our lives in so many ways. I think you need to be responsible. But 9 times out of 10, people are just, they just don't know. And they
They
don't know
don't.
what they don't know until somebody teaches them the right way. And if they're willing to listen, let's make it happen.
I worked with a guy once that he, if anybody that, if they couldn't afford care, you know, if it was a neglect situation, he was always just so angry. Everything was so angry. And they shouldn't own fucking animals. You know, it's like,
Absolutely,
well,
yeah.
we like, is this communist America? Like, we don't really get a choice to say that in some aspects. That's just my personal take on it. I'll be honest. And my professional take. I think everybody has the right to own an animal. And then, I mean, sure, there are situations where their actions may, like, if somebody truly beats an animal to death, they probably shouldn't own an animal. If somebody
Probably,
is
yeah.
severely neglectful to an animal, there needs to be some parameters in place. And so, it's hard. I get it from the aspects of like getting frustrated and taking things personally, but sometimes it's not personal. So, well, I really appreciate you taking the time to kind of highlight the work that you've done and the work that you're going to continue to do. This job is thankless, and it's important that you hear it from us, you hear it from your peers, that we really appreciate what it is that you do, and hopefully moving forward, you'll continue to spread the joy that you have for the job, because it really seems like you embody that, which is really cool.
Well, thanks for interviewing me. Thanks for doing your podcast. I mean, I haven't been able to watch all of them,
Oh,
but
there's only
when I
200
do,
and some. There's
I
like
mean,
two.
that's all. We all have so much
Well,
time.
but
But
it's
it's
here.
nice, you know?
It's here
It's
for
nice to
you.
have
Yeah.
advocates in our field.
Yeah,
It's
we're here for you. Like, that's the reality is, sure, you know, it they're like, shout out to everybody that's been a guest and that's been involved behind the scenes, because it takes a lot of work. But at the end of the day, like, we only do it because it's for you. Like, we're trying, whether it's you listening as an ACO or somebody just somewhat like curious about what this profession is, because I don't know how you feel about the Animal Control show on Fox. Yeah, some people like it in our profession and they think
it's
it's cute.
okay.
Yeah.
Not my favorite.
I'm not a huge fan for various reasons, and I think mainly because I feel like it continues to play that dog catcher stereotype in just by like being not serious, by just being goofy, kind of stupid. And I know that there's some of you listening right now, maybe on a call or going to a call, I should say. Hopefully you're not listening on a call, because that would be weird if you had your Bluetooth in and you're trying to interview
Sure.
somebody. But I think that it's important that like we get real-time stories, right? We get real feedback from the community, because that's what's going to help change the image.
Absolutely.
Have you ever adopted anything, I should say, any animal from a case that you did, or any work scenario?
I did, especially when I first started,
Okay.
that was a really long time ago, and they've all passed on since.
Oh.
But I mean, I have a little foo-foo 14-year-old
Oh,
blind.
I like those little dogs.
Yeah, she's old, starting to show her age. But I love my critters, but I don't want any more. I don't
Yeah.
know if that's part of just the 25 years of burnout built up. But I get to love my critters all day long, and that's enough for me.
Yeah, no, I get it. I have one dog that was a foster failure. So I totally get where you're coming from in some aspects, that one's enough. I travel a lot, so it's kind of like, maybe I should just have one. I do want to get a cat. I really do, because he grew up with a kitten. But as I try to look at him, look how goofy he is right now. Where you at, boy?
Oh, he looks so uncomfortable. Yes, he does. He does.
Those
Yeah.
for you listening on Spotify, you can go to, well, you can actually watch on Spotify, or you can watch on YouTube, and he's just got pillows on his head. I am not suffocating him, I promise. So yeah, that's it. It's real short, simple. Thanks again for your time. Thank you for continuing the hard work that you do, and thanks for being a friend of the show. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. And just as a note, for
Yeah.
any of you needing continuing education hours in Texas, please come to Texas Unite. It's a huge opportunity for networking and education.
If you go to our website, keepithumane.com, keepithumane.com, right on the front page, there's a bunch of training, like probably 9 to 12 different trainings. And the link for Texas Unites is right there, right on the homepage. So you can't miss it. Just go there, click on the link, and it'll take you to the registration page.
Yes, never have enough education. Never stop
Ever.
learning. Never
Yes.
stop learning.
Love it. Thank you. Thanks for that. That's really important stuff. I'm glad you mentioned it too. So
All right,
thank you.
thanks.